If you're new here, you've never been to this church, welcome here. My name's Evan. I'm the lead pastor here, and just so glad to have you be part of this with us today. We've been walking through a series. This is week four of the series that we're building towards Easter. Next weekend is the biggest weekend in Christianity, the calendar of Christianity. It's Easter. We have this coming Friday. It's going to be a Good Friday, and we really want you to come. There's a little thing for you to take home somewhere on your seat. If not, we'd have more at the info center. We want you to come and invite someone out, maybe even to Good Friday, where the church is gathering, the church of the Comox Valley. A number of churches are coming together. Our worship team is leading in worship. Dan Kang from Living Hope is going to be sharing a message. We've just got some incredible things going on. We want you to come out and join us and celebrate. We pack out Isfeld Secondary School's gym, and it's just going to be really, really fun time. We want you to come, and then Sunday, a week from today, is Easter. And so we've been building towards that with this series called King Jesus. We've been talking about the idea of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the good news of Jesus Christ? And it is about this guy in history, this person in history who showed up, God in flesh. And so the first week we talked about the God that we seem to see in the Old Testament that is powerful, mighty, strong, even dangerous, that we saw as Pastor Alan shared with us week one. Then week two, we looked at how God actually started the trend of how are people to join me in relationship? How are they to enter my presence? How are they to approach me? And it was through repentance. It was through recognizing their own sin that they're meant to come towards God. And then last week, we talked about how Israel couldn't figure that out. The people of God couldn't figure that out for a long time. Generations passed, hundreds of years passed. And then all of a sudden, this Messiah that shows up, this guy who comes, and the prophets have spoken about him. And they've said there'd be one day a king who shows up. One day one who would come and save, and one day one who would come and deliver and set free and do all that. That is who is going to come. And you can look forward to him. You can know that no matter what hardship you're walking through, he will show up one day. And we recognize that Jesus came and started looking kind of like the Messiah, but some people didn't recognize it and couldn't see it, and they just weren't sure, and he was claiming he was God. And so then this week we're going to look at what Jesus starts to say. He starts to, not just the language of God, but he starts to speak of the language of a kingdom. He says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Matthew 4:17, it's soon after Jesus had been baptized, and it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent. In other words, turn away from what you've been living. Turn away from the way you've been walking. Turn away from the pursuits that you've been pursuing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. You can imagine when people start hearing about the kingdom. Kingdom has come. You think of kingdom, you think of power and might. You think of overcoming. You think if a kingdom is going to show up, there's a powerful kingdom, and this king is here, then maybe all the stuff we've been hoping for can finally happen. At that time, Israel has been oppressed by the Roman Empire. So we've got this kingdom of Rome, this empire of Rome overcoming this kingdom of Israel, which is no longer really a kingdom. And they're pushing Israel down there. They're oppressing the people. They're hurting the people. And Israel, their heart is to call out, Messianic King. You know, King, come, would you come and help us? Would you come and bring the kingdom? And so now Jesus shows up and says, the kingdom is near. The kingdom is near. Of course, they start thinking, oh, finally, you can take out the Romans for us. Finally, you can set us free. Finally, our kingdom can be strengthened again. Our kingdom can advance. Our kingdom can move forward. Isn't it interesting how we hear about the power of God or the kingdom of God, and we start assuming that it's going to help all that we want to accomplish move forward? that it's going to help us reject those that have been rejecting us. You know, those who have had the power to oppress us, we think, well, when the kingdom of God comes, then I'll have the power to oppress them instead. I'll have the power to get them back, to get revenge on what they've done. I know that's what my kids think about the kingdom of Dad in our house. Our kids, we have a little speaker in the corner of our living room, and it's got a bunch of little stations. You can get the radio on it, and number 6 is the one that Izzy always wants to go to, and it's like this kids Christian music radio one, and she'll turn that on, and it's usually fun, and she's twirling like this, and her little blonde mess is going all over the place, and she's dancing and having fun and doing her thing, and all of a sudden you start to hear either heavy drums or electric guitar. It's like she's like dee 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 wah. And Hardy's over in the corner. He's changed it to the one he likes. And Hardy will do this. He loves like old school rock and roll. It's kind of funny. He has since he was a little guy. Like he's like, go back to that one. So he'll turn that on and you'll see him in the corner and he'll hear the beat drop or the electric guitar start ripping. And all of a sudden he'll just be like this. And if you look at him and notice him, he's like this in the corner, and then you notice him, he looks at you, he's like... He doesn't change. He's still rocking it. He's still going for it. Like, this is my world. And so Izzy's like, no, Hardy, I don't like that. And she comes back. And he's like... And he just loves all that stuff. And boom, boom, boom. They're pressing on the buttons and pushing for their kingdom, right? No, this is all about my desires and my plans and my purposes for this day. And Hardy's like, no, Izzy. This is my day. And like back and forth, they're pressing the buttons, and then they're pressing each other's buttons, and then they're eye gouging, and then they're pulling hair, and then they're kicking, and like it's all of a sudden two kingdoms battling with each other. And I walk over, and both of them will be like, Dad, he hurt me, and she pulled my hair, and she did this, and they pushed this button, and he wants this music, and she wants this music, and blah, blah, blah. So, Dad, whose side are you on? I walk over and I say, there's a new kingdom in town, folks. It's the kingdom of quiet. No more music. We're done. If you don't like being part of that kingdom, there's a kingdom of your room down the hall. You can go there and be your own king or queen for the rest of the day or week or however long it takes. Now, let me have my coffee. There's a new king in town, okay? Quiet down. New kingdom. You know, and in some ways, this is what God was about to do to the Israelites and the Romans, the Jews and the Gentiles. In some ways, this is about what God was about to do. And we see this early on, actually hundreds of years before Jesus shows up. There's a guy named Joshua. And Joshua is kind of fighting to establish the kingdom of Israel. And he's heading towards the kingdom of Canaan, led by noticed or recognized by this fortified city named Jericho, and he's heading towards that, and they're going to bring these two kingdoms together. They're going to fight against each other. And Joshua 5:13-14 explains what happens. It says, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? We often do this with people. There's only one or two options. Are you for me or are you for them? If you're for me, then you accept everything about me and you help everything about me move forward. If you're for them, then you accept everything about them and you reject everything about me. There's no in between. Are you for me or are you for them? Because if you're for my enemies, you're against me. If you're for me, you're against my enemies. So are you for us or are you against us? And this guy says, neither. But as commander of the Lord's army, I have come now. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servants? He says, neither. I'm not for either of those. Whether you're for me or for my enemies. No, 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 no. You're talking little kingdom. You're talking little Israel kingdom and little Canaan kingdom. Those are little toys for me. Like that, those are small things for me. I'm here from the kingdom of the Lord. I'm here as the commander of the Lord's army. I'm not here as the commander of Joshua's army set to take over this. I'm here as the commander of the Lord's army. And so don't ask me if I'm going to get on board with you. What I want to know is, are you going to get on board with me? Are you going to walk with me? Are you going to let my kingdom reign? Are you going to get on board with what I want to do with this kingdom? We all have a kingdom that we're fighting for. But when God shows up, he shows up with a new kingdom, and he's the king of it. And he says, I'm not looking to become the king of your kingdom and make your kingdom more powerful so that you can oppress more people. I'm coming with a new kingdom, and I'm going to welcome you, and I'm going to welcome those you're trying to oppress. And this is how God shows up on the planet. As I was working this one through, figuring out how I can give up my kingdom, I felt like God said, I came for the kingdom of heaven, not for the kingdom of Evan. Touche. Right now, you're wishing you had a different name, aren't you? So that just doesn't work the same. Kingdom of Heaven, Kingdom of Allen, no, it just doesn't have this quite the same ring. You can still use it if you want, but I mean, it just hit me square between the eyes. You know, you're even rhyming my name into this, Lord. But anyways, he didn't come for your kingdom, not for my kingdom. He came for his kingdom. And so this is how he starts to speak to Israel. This is how he starts to speak, Jesus starts to speak to the people. The kingdom is near. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The new kingdom, not Israel's kingdom, not the kingdom of God is near. And so people are like, oh, the kingdom of God. Let's make him a king. Let's figure out who this Jesus is. If he's the king, let's empower him. And they still think he'll probably wipe out Rome and he'll probably take out the people that aren't as pure as us or do bad things that we don't do or are sinners. He'll probably take them out. And so let's empower him to be king of our kingdom so that he will take them out. And so there's this moment on Palm Sunday where Jesus is entering Jerusalem and the Jews and all of Israel is like singing his praises. Yes, the king has come, the one that's been promised, the one that we believed in. This is awesome. He's going to set us free from the Romans. He's going to do all this stuff. And he shows up in a town. The next day, he goes to the temple where all the Jews and Israelites, where all of them worship. And he starts grabbing tables and flipping them over because they're selling pigeons and trying to make it hard for Gentiles to come and worship God. They're filling the space that the Gentiles, those who are different than them, are supposed to come in and worship and come in and be a part of this. And Jesus starts saying, isn't my house, isn't this place supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations, for all people, for everyone, for anyone who would come to me? And so he starts flipping tables and raging and whipping people and doing like, it's just a Jesus that we don't see in most of the rest of the New Testament. But he's angry because the Israelites had decided this is for us and there's barely any room for anyone else. And if there is, we're going to make it hard. And Jesus doesn't like it. And so the Israelites who are expecting this messianic king and we're going to empower him to become king and expect him to fight against the Romans for them, his first act coming into Jerusalem is actually to fight against the temple. And the way they were acting in the temple. But it goes on. Jesus keeps going and more of the Israelites are looking on and wondering, can this be the king? Can this be the messianic king? And does he represent the kingdom of heaven? Because Jesus starts telling stories, like the story of the prodigal son. Story of the prodigal son is a boy who does bad things and turns away from his dad, runs away. And it's about another boy who doesn't do that. He stays and he's faithful to his dad. Well, the son who runs away eventually comes back and the dad forgives him and welcomes him home and says, oh, I love you, son. Come on in. Let's have a party. And the son who has been there the whole time is mad that his brother was let back in. Why do you get to come in? That's not fair. I'm the righteous one here. I'm the one who's been oppressed. I've been working hard and he's been doing nothing. And now I don't get celebrated and he does. How does that work? That's not fair. I want you to do something else. Jesus is telling these stories Because the new kingdom says it's not about building your kingdom who have been righteous and working hard. It's not about building your kingdom who have been messing up and being all over. It's about building God's kingdom who has room for all of them. And they're all welcome. And they all get to be a part of it if they choose. John 9, there's a story of a man who's born blind. This man who's born blind, the disciples who are following Jesus says, oh, this guy must be a sinner, because everyone, they associated a physical illness with sin. So they said, he must have been a sinner. So let me tell you, Jesus, obviously we're not going to welcome this guy into our party, but who was it that sinned? His parents or him? What was it? Like, well, who was it that did this? We just want to know so that we can just figure this out. And Jesus said, no one sinned. He's this way for the glory of God so that my glory can be revealed. And so he heals him. And the Pharisees, the Israelites, come up and say, whoa, hold up a second here. You healed a sinner and on a day that you're not supposed to do any work. And so what are you thinking you're doing? And they talk to the blind guy, and the blind guy says, I don't know, I didn't see and now I see and I'm not sure. And they're like, well, was it God? Was it the Messianic King? Was it the kingdom of heaven that came and touched you? What was it? Tell us about it. And he goes, I don't know. My eyes just, I can see. And that's all I know. And they're like, that's it. You're a sinner. Get out of our sight. And that's that. Because they can't understand this. They can't understand why someone who is a sinner, someone who's been a bad person, someone who hasn't lived a good life is being touched by Jesus, who's saying that he's the king of the kingdom of heaven, who's saying that he is God and he's touching these sinners. Does he not know? Does he not know who these people are? And then there's this moment in Matthew 9 when Jesus is eating with tax collectors. Tax collectors have oppressed the people of Israel. Tax collectors have oppressed the Jews and brought them down. They've represented Rome against the Jews, even though they're Jews. And so Jesus goes and has a meal with them. And these long-term Israelites who are good people are standing outside and saying, what is he doing? Does he not understand? Why is he eating with them? That doesn't make sense. He shouldn't eat with them. He must not know who they are. And Jesus steps out on the balcony and says, hold up. I came for the sick, not the healthy, not the well, not the ones who can take care of them. I came for the sick. That's why I'm here. Sometimes our obsession to point out the one who is sick keeps us from recognizing the one who heals. Where we want to figure out who doesn't fit that we forget, we miss the one who's welcoming them all in. We so want to figure out at what point should we reject that person? At what point should they not fit within this community? At what point should we not let them in? What sin should keep them out? What is the thing that should keep them out? And we're trying to figure out what that is. And then all of a sudden, one of them gets in and we don't realize that it was Jesus who actually welcomed them in. Jesus who went to dinner with them. Jesus who went and spent time with them. And while they were still sinners, he died for them. While they were still broken, he went to them. We don't get it because we're so focused on who should stay out that we miss out on the one who has sinned. Come to me, all of you. All of you, come to me. Luke 7, there's this woman who comes up to Jesus and she's crying at his feet and wiping his feet with her hair. And this Pharisee who has invited Jesus over says, oh, this must not be the prophet. He must not be the king. He must not be who he says he is, because if he was, he would know who's doing that to him. She's a dirty woman. And Jesus says, no. You don't understand. She's broken. She's messed up. She's hurting. But she's forgiven. And so when she comes to me, she comes with a repentant heart and she comes broken before me, recognizing that I am the healer. She sees something in me that you can't see until you recognize your need for me, your need for repentance. And so you're sitting here trying to draw the line on who doesn't fit. Meanwhile, Jesus is building the kingdom, growing the kingdom with people who never should have fit in any of the Jewish minds or the Israelite minds, or probably a lot of our minds. Jesus is building this kingdom. I noticed this as I was looking through the Bible. I noticed that actually I can't see almost any. I'm not sure if I found any instances in Scripture when someone rejected, or when someone missed out on the kingdom of God because they were so offended by who Jesus rejected. And yet I see a whole lot of people miss the kingdom of God because they're so offended by who he accepted. I can't believe you'd accept that one. I don't think I can be part of this kingdom. I can't believe that tax collector is in that kingdom. I can't be a part of that kingdom. I can't believe you'd welcome that dirty woman. No, I can't be a part of this kingdom. I can't believe you'd welcome that guy who's clearly a sinner and he's been blind from his birth. I can't be part of that kingdom. I can't be in a kingdom where you're welcoming in people who are broken and messed up and haven't been as pure as us. I'm not going to be a part of that kingdom. You don't see people going around and saying, Jesus, since you rejected that person, I can't be a part of this kingdom. They're saying, Jesus, since you accepted that person, I can't be in it. It's Jesus's acceptance that offends people, not his rejection that offends them. Now, I wonder what it would be for us. I wonder what people would say about us. I can't believe they're accepting those people. I don't want to go to that church. They accept too many people. Like, there's too many people that just walk in the door and seem to be loved no matter what. I don't want to be part of that. Or we have more people saying, I don't know if they feel that accepted. I went there and I didn't feel that loved. I didn't feel that cared for. And so I don't think I want to be a part. I wonder what it would be. Where it would land. They couldn't accept the Savior because he wouldn't reject the sinner. I think that's a tweetable. That might be one to hold on to. They couldn't accept the Savior because he wouldn't reject the sinner. Anyone who turned to him, anyone who repented, anyone who came to him and recognized him as the Lord, anyone who said, I want to be part of this kingdom, Jesus said, well, then come on in. I am your Savior. I am the King. I want to grow you. I want to empower you. Come and find wholeness in me. But you only find it when you recognize that there's going to be more that come after you. And even though you're going to grow, and even though you're going to get stronger, and even though you're going to walk in more righteousness, we're still going to be welcoming people in who are not there yet. We're still going to be welcoming people in who haven't found out what righteousness means or what good living means or what holiness means. We're still going to be walking them in. And Jesus says, continues to show in his ministry that he's going to be an accepting, welcoming God and King of the kingdom of heaven. And the people who are going to miss out on that are looking for him to reject more people. And he won't. He won't do it. Matthew 25:34-40. Jesus starts telling a story about when the king, at the end of all things, when everything is done, there's this picture of him separating the sheep from the goats. And here's how Jesus speaks about it. It says, then the king will say to those on his right. Now he's talking about the king, the kingdom of heaven. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, not some little guy in the ministry, not some pastor, not some person that doesn't really know what they're talking about. The king of this whole kingdom will reply in this way. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Jesus is so into this that he shares this idea of what it's going to look like at the end of time. And what is it? What will it look like that those of you who took care of the least, those of you who took care of the hungry and the poor and the broken and the needy and the imprisoned, you will have done that for me. And if you choose not to do it, he goes on to say, if you choose not to do it, then you didn't do it for me. Then you rejected me. When did you reject Jesus? When you rejected the least of these. When you said, no, that person doesn't fit in that person and that person and that person and that lifestyle and that thought process and that thing. No, those things don't fit. Jesus, I imagine how messy this ministry of Jesus would have been, and yet it was all just focused to Jesus. And he stood there. This was me. Come in, come in, come in. Tax collector, come. Sinning woman, come. A broken person, come. Blind, because maybe you sinned from birth or your parents sinned or there's been generational sin in your life and you're just growing up in it. You, come. Jesus was accepting and welcoming them in. There's a story. There's a story one time of a neighbor that I have, and this neighbor wanted to meet with me. We had a good connection. I had helped him with some things, and given him some good advice. And he was walking through some stuff. Wanted to get to me and come back and chat with me about that. And so we set up a time. We planned this moment when we would get together. Worship team, you can come and join me. We planned this moment when we could get together, and so that was good. It was set for this one day, and that day my son was out scootering on the road, and he was going down this hill right by that friend's house, right by that neighbor's house. And he was going down the hill, and he actually wasn't wearing a helmet. Surprise, surprise! And jumping from the road to the street to the sidewalk, you're not supposed to do. And eventually, he even went into this neighbor's garden, and out of that garden flew, fell on the sidewalk, hit his head, scratched his elbow, scratched his legs, was a mess, was crying. And he managed to get himself up, and he went to this neighbor's house. And he knew the neighbor. He knocked on the door. The neighbor came out. Hardy's crying. Said, I need help. I need you to help me. And this neighbor, I looked at him and said, Hardy, I can't. I've got a meeting I've got to get to. I've got to run. I don't want to be late. And in fact, you just shouldn't have gone. Just don't go in my garden next time. You probably won't fall, and wear your helmet. That's not a true story. But if that guy came to my house, knocked on my door, said, hey, I'm here for the meeting. I said, that's great. Great to see you. So glad you're here. Have you seen Hardy? He was out scootering somewhere. Have you seen him around? If that guy said to me, yeah, he fell. He was in my garden. No, shouldn't have been. He wasn't wearing a helmet. He wouldn't have got hurt as bad if he was. He fell back there. He's bloody, crying, messed up, broken. And he's over back at my house. But I told him I had to rush here because we had a meeting and this was important. What do you think I'm going to do in that moment? I'm going to shove that guy in my garden. I'm going to run past him. I'm going to run down the road until I find Hardy. I'll pick him up. I'm going to bring him home. I'm going to take him in my house. I'm going to tell that guy that we're not meeting, probably indefinitely. I'm going to take care of Hardy's wounds. I'm going to look after him. I'm going to hug him, remind him that he's okay, remind him that Daddy loves him, and we're going to carry on with our day. I think sometimes we might be looking at our relationship with God like that neighbor was looking at his relationship with me. Where if there's hurt in the world or there's broken people in the world, where instead of dealing with it or helping, we're saying, excuse me, I have a God that I need to get to. I have a relationship with him that I need to secure. I need to go and make sure that my kingdom life is good, that our kingdom is protected, our kingdom is looked after, and you're actually in my way right now. I need you to move so I can get there. And there's hurting, broken people all over that we're missing. And we're saying to them, you shouldn't have gone in the garden anyways. And you weren't wearing a helmet. You know this is your fault, right? You know this is a lifestyle you shouldn't be living, right? You know this isn't the best life for you, right? You know this isn't the thing that you should be doing with your morals are a little off, right? You know you're confused in this area, right? You shouldn't have done that anyway, so I'm going to go and meet with God. Do you think God is sitting there saying, oh, bravo, come here. Let's leave that sicko over there and see if he takes care of himself. That guy is just as much a creation as the person that knocks on his door. God made them. God formed them. God created them. God values them. He does not value you more than he values that person who is broken and can't pick themselves up, dust them off, and get to God. In fact, he values them so much that he didn't send his son for those who have it all together, but for the sick and for the broken. You can't get to me. I'm coming to you. You can't lift your head. I'll bow my knee. Jesus says, if you can't feel empowered, I will become weaker than you. I will become more broken than you. I will become a servant of you. I will become a servant of all. He says, I came to be a servant of all and make my life a sacrifice for everyone. Not some people, not the highest power people, not the Pharisees, not the Jews, not the Israelites, not the Northgate family, not the regular church attender, but all people. And it's those that accept the work that Jesus does, which draws people in, that would be part of that kingdom. Some of you are here today, and you're that person. You're that person who's on the side of the road. You've been hurt. You've fallen. You feel like you've been rejected. Feel like people haven't noticed you or haven't seen you. People haven't wanted to be a part of your life. In fact, they've tried to avoid you. And on their way, they told you all the things that you've done wrong as they were on their way to go meet with God. Maybe you're in this room carrying that bitterness, carrying that brokenness, carrying those wounds, carrying those hurts. And you've been sitting here wondering, should I have been wearing my helmet? What did I do wrong? Should I have been, I must have done it all off. No one cares about me. I need you to know that God the Father sent Jesus Christ the Son, and he's running down the road to you, and he knows where you are. He knows what you've been through. He knows who's rejected you. He knows what you've felt. He knows what you've experienced from people. He knows you've been cut out of the kingdom, or that people have told you you've been cut out of the kingdom, and he's running down the street, neglecting everyone who has neglected you so that he can grab hold of you, dust you off, and bring you back in. And it says, the Bible says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. He's not waiting for you to get to his door. He's coming to your door, and he's saying, if you will answer the door and let me in, I will come in, and I will take care of you, and I will love you, I will look after you, I'll empower you. And so some of you need to open that door today. Say, okay, I want that. I want that healing. I want to know that king who would become nothing so that you would know your worth to him. Some of you know that God's grabbing your heart today, and you need to accept him. You need to accept the work that Jesus is doing. You need to accept that you get to be part of the kingdom through Jesus. And he is saying, come to me, I'll bring you in. I'll take care of you. You know today, for some of you, you know that you need to make that decision and welcome him to pick you up, dust you off, and draw you into that kingdom. Some of you need to become kingdom people today. Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment? If that's you, and you're starting to recognize that Jesus sprinting down the road, finding you who are hurt, who are lost, who's confused. Today you have a chance to call out to him. Say, Jesus, I'm here. And I want to know your healing. And I want to know your restoration. I want to experience your fullness. I want to come back home with you. I want to be part of your kingdom. If that's you today, say, that's me. I want to do that. Then I want you to stick up your hand in the air and say, that's me. I need you, Jesus. I need to know your healing. Go ahead. You can stick your hand in the air if that's you and God's grabbing at your heart. Go ahead. I want to pray for you. Is there anyone? Anyone in the room that says that's me? I need them. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless you. Anyone else says that's me? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you in the back. You there? God bless you. And you, God bless. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you reach out, that you go. You don't wait for us to get to you. You come knocking, and today you've been knocking on hearts. Today you've been calling on people. Today your Holy Spirit has been opening lives to you, and today people are saying, that's me. I need it. I want to be part of that kingdom. I want to be part of what Jesus is doing. I want to experience the fullness of what he wants me to experience. I want to know him accepting me. I want to know what it is to not be rejected from this, but to be accepted in through Jesus, through my faith in him, through my hope that is from him, through the grace that he's given to me, through the kindness that has led me to repentance. Lord, I just pray today that you would affirm, confirm, solidify what has been happening right now, Lord, for today, for this week, for this month, and for this year. God, I pray that those today say, I want to follow, I want to do this, I just pray for the courage, Jesus, the courage to make this public, the courage to share it, the courage to allow people to take part in it with them. Jesus, for those who haven't been baptized, I just pray for the courage to do it next week. Even right now, I just pray for that courage. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for the hope that is in you. Thank you, Lord, that those who believe in you get to be part of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you your kingdom is full of people that you've accepted and welcomed in way before they were good enough to be in, way before they were proper enough to be in, way before they had figured it all out. You welcome them in. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the only way, not our good works, not our proper behavior. You are the only way. We celebrate it. King Jesus, thank you for your work. In Jesus' name we pray, and anyone who likes what just happened says, amen. Amen. Come on, come on.